Just before we begin, you know, heard a cute story. Little church in Alabama having a revival. And so the preacher was going big time on holiness. And he said, basically, as he's winding down his message, he said, "So, if I had all the beer in this county, I'd go right down to the river and pour all the beer into the river." And everybody shouted, "Amen." He said, "If I had all the wine in this county, I'd go down to the river and I'd pour out all the bottles of wine in the river." Everybody shouted, "Yes, brother, amen, preach it." "If I had all the whiskey in this county, I'd still go down to the river, pour it all out there." And everybody said, "Yes, amen. So that's the way it is here. Amen, brother." He says, "I'm going to sit down, and Mitch is going to come up and close us in our closing song." He sits down. Mitch says, "Our closing hymn today is Shall We Gather at the River?" Watch out. We are taking a look at part two, really, of our series. The series is entitled Managing, or Messy to Manageable. Messy to Manageable. We've been dealing with things as Christians that we just need to remind ourselves really quite messy. And today we're dealing with growing spiritually is messy. Growing spiritually is messy. And it's a helpful thing. I'm trusting the Lord will really encourage you, and especially you who are at home, because sometimes I find that we forget growing up spiritually. There are so many pitfalls, there's so many setbacks, so many failures, so many valleys that we say, "Man, something's wrong with me." Have you ever been to a Christian conference or possibly a camp or maybe coming from a church service and you say, "Yes, I feel so connected with God. Things are going to change. I'm all about growing in my relationship with God," only for the next day to say it's failed or the next week I failed. And you think about something is wrong with me, or maybe it wasn't really real. We have to realize that growing spiritually it's a messy process. And may the Lord show us even now as we open the word. Father, thank you that in Jesus' name, we know this, you don't save people that are hopeless. You bring hope to those messes in our lives. And thank you for doing something wonderful today. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's interesting because that element where we would say, well, what does it look like to grow spiritually? If you'll take just for a moment on your note cards, you'll see in the message summary, we have basically, what does it look like to grow spiritually? And I listed there for you, literally, it's growing in my knowledge of God, living out the character of God, daily experiencing the presence of God, and growing in my obedience to God. What does it look like to grow spiritually? Take a look at those. Those things are wonderful to enjoy and to have happening. Quite simply put, here it is. If we're going to grow spiritually, it's more into the image or character of Christ and do the work of Christ. The character of Christ and do the work of Christ. You know, sometimes people think, well, we just need to be more like Jesus. Just a nice person. But man, there's so much to be done. People need to be hearing about the love of God. People need to be prayed for. God wants to do miracles today. How is he going to do that? Send an angel? You're that angel. He wants to work through you and me. The Apostle Paul was all about getting people growing in miraculous ways spiritually. Let's take a look. I'm starting with Colossians. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you're following with us, please get your Bible out. Please get something to write with. Use your Bible. Mark it up. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but whatever translation you use, that's just fine. But check it out. Verse 28, Colossians 1. "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom of God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." So let's just say this. God desires us to grow spiritually, but it's messy along the way. It's difficult and hard. Why? Let's hit our first point on your notes. Why is growing spiritually messy. Here they are, some points. Letter A, spiritual growth involves failure. Let's get that one out of the way. Man, people fail. I like it in Romans 7. I remember the day I discovered it, how that there is just setbacks and collapses in Christians' lives. Let's look at Romans 7, verse 14. It says this, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Now, it's interesting because Jesus recognizes we will struggle with sin. Now, we have that going on. It's just because you have Christ in your life doesn't mean you're exempt from blowing it. That's important. To grow in the Lord, to grow spiritually, it's a messy process, and it's so difficult when we collapse. It involves trial and error. Trial and error. Don't stop growing in Jesus. Amen. It's kind of like our children and our grandchildren when they start to walk, right? When they start to walk, they're going to be wobbly. They're going to fall. We don't fuss them out. We don't scold children when they stumble and fall trying to walk. No, we don't do it. And God doesn't scold us when we stumble and fall spiritually either. We have to be careful about that. If you've ever said, man, I'm going to go big for God, only in 24 hours you succumb to something, that's when people feel so bad. That's when we want to quit. Don't quit. We beat ourselves up. The problem is with so many believers, they think that this is going to be my fix-all. Growing spiritually is messy, and it's important for you and I to understand that. But how we learn to grow spiritually, that's important. Letter B, spiritual growth is hard work. It's another reason why it's messy. Some people don't want to put in the work. Come on. Come on. It should be something that God not only wants, but we cooperate. But check it out in Philippians 3, verse 12. Says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. What's that one thing, Paul, you focus on? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, it's interesting to note, and this is a takeaway for any Christian that says, man, why am I such a failure and a dropout in my relationship with Jesus? It's because we forget what the Apostle Paul is saying. I like, and if you look down just a little further, verse 17, write that down. He says, brethren, join us and follow our examples as you have. What was the example? He said here, we just read it, man, this is the one thing I do. I forget those things of the past. And I press forward to what God has for me in the front. Now, that's important. I don't know how many times you and I may have considered all of our blow-its in the past. Don't do it. The Apostle Paul says, I don't even do that. I forget those things of the past. And if anybody had a jaded past, it was the Apostle Paul. The guy's responsible for persecuting the church. He was holding the coats when Stephen was stoned to death. I'm sure when he wanted to make his inroads into fellowship with Christians, he said, man, I heard about you. You are a terrible man. You can imagine people probably reminded him of his past, but he said, I'm going to forget that. You cannot change your past. But I'll tell you, if you keep thinking about your past, you will forfeit what God has for your future. So forget your past. You press on to those things. Spiritual growth is hard. It gets messy when you start blending your past with your presence. Now, it's important. It's also you and God together. Check it out a little bit further back in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 12. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obey God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Check that out. God's giving you the desire I don't know how many times I've heard that little whisper, you know, you should read your Bible today. But it's not loud enough to really get me in there. You know, you really should probably tell that neighbor about me. It's not loud enough to get me going, but it's amazing. It's a cooperation of both God and you to grow you spiritually. It messes up when we don't cooperate. You just add to the mess. I add to the mess when I don't cooperate with God. So you've all heard the voice of the Lord. You need to connect with me today. But we consider other areas of our own selfish focus. I know that when I need to go into my gym in my garage, you can tell I go into my gym in my garage because I don't want to travel to the gym. But I know I need to get my efforts going to see the benefits of that. I'm even making it as easy as I can. I just have to open the door and get in there. Man, how easy does God make it for us? We just have to kind of like step on in to our prayer area or pick up one of the 7 Bibles you have at home. Yes. Or better yet, open that app of the Bible. Letter C, it's difficult to grow spiritually because spiritual growth conflicts with the world. Take a look at that for a moment. It's interesting. If you go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, this is the epistle. This isn't the gospel. So it's backed by the book of Revelation. See what it says here. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Now, we will never grow spiritually if we are that much in love with the things of this world. That's what the scripture says. I want to grow spiritually, but man, I got a conflict going on because I really do have a love affair going on with this world. The love of the Father is not in that individual. So you can see that's the messiness. I want to grow spiritually, but I also have a challenge because it says in scripture, we love pleasure. We love to tell our desires, go ahead and have at it. You deserve it today. We also love possessions. We love material things over spiritual things. It's much easier to see what we acquire and talk about what we have, but not what we've grown into in God. We love to take hold of our pride about ourselves. We love to elevate ourselves and elevate those things that we actually own. So be careful about that. You'll find a person will plateau. They will not grow. Be careful, because that battle goes on with these things of the world. Watch out. I want to grow spiritually. If you find yourself stopping in your spiritual growth, it is messy. This could be one of those areas that you're wrestling with. Watch out. I think it's fine, and sometimes it's worth noting, whenever I address things that related issues of this world, people will get angry at me. They get angry. I don't know if that's ever happened to you at their family gatherings. They get angry because I'm touching on things they love. One example is money. You talk about money, people get really angry. Why is that? Because they love money. If I'm speaking about something they don't care about, they don't get angry at me. But if I touch something that they love, I'm telling you, they are all over me like a cheap suit. Now, why should financially supporting your church be so controversial? That's why when we take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, you can write it down. Go ahead and write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Man, the scripture says, be careful because there's been many who have desired to be rich. They have literally wrecked their lives. I don't know when that happens. Could be the whole duration of their life. Verse 10, 1 Timothy 6 says, those who love money have even bailed on their faith with Jesus. Don't do it. So it really isn't so much money. It's just we're touching on something people love. And so watch out. Letter D, spiritual growth wrestles with the sinful nature. Now, what's worth noting, Galatians chapter 5 talks about that. In Galatians 5:17, the sinful nature says, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Now take a look at capital S, Spirit. It says, and the Spirit gives us desires that we are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Now, you and I know this. This is the messiness of I want to grow spiritually, but that doesn't mean we've kind of abandoned our sinful nature. And these two don't go together. I want to be spiritual, and I want to be carnal, fleshly. No. It doesn't. Have you ever tried that? It doesn't work. One is going to be in commission. The other is going to be out of or decommissioned. Whenever you have a spiritual high going on, it seems like the flesh is out of commission. And the spiritual person is like, strong, we're strong. But they don't coexist. Be careful. Be careful what you engage in. Be careful what you're feeding your carnal flesh. We all know what we enjoy as a luxury that feeds the flesh. But I'm telling you, I could be at the best church meeting, go home and watch some rowdy movie. It feels like I need to go back to church. Have you ever found that? What happened? I was pumped, and now I feel depleted. Watch out. Galatians chapter 5, again, just move on. In verse 24, literally says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So I find this messiness of growing spiritually, the fighting, the desires of our flesh is very messy. It's a battle, folks. It is a battle. You cannot tell me. That's why I want to be so kind and so compassionate to people, because I know what I rage with, what I deal with. Man, the intense times of anger, resentment, lust, jealousy, areas of bitterness, indifference, unbelief, battling with materialism, come on. I want to grow spiritually, but I'm telling you, my flesh will go for those things. And I got to realize I've committed myself to Christ. I've been important. So remember, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about stop navigating according to your feelings. Be careful about that. So there's been so many times I thought, man, I am going to verbally shred this person. But I choose to love that person. That's about how it works. I choose to love that person. Letter E, spiritual growth engages a spiritual enemy. If we had all the things we just discussed, and now we come to demonic creatures. And let me tell you, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. And I take the Bible literally. These demonic spirits, these are not metaphorical. This isn't symbols of evil. These are real creatures that are all around you waiting for an opening to make sure you give nothing to God, that you hold it back. Don't use anything of your life for the Lord. They will speak those things to you. But let's see what's going on, because remember, we're talking, I want to grow spiritually, but there is a spiritual enemy. And it says this final word, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So just remember, no one in this room is your enemy, right? You look at your spouse and say, honey, peace, right? Yeah, ladies, you can thank me later. That's important. Nobody you see is your enemy. But it goes on, but against evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And to forget that opens you and your children and the generations to follow to untold misery. And you think it would be remedied by just taking a look at people. Be careful about that. When we deal with that, how is it when we motivate people to get a spiritual victory? Let's get a testimony going. When we get our greatest victory, it seems shortly thereafter that somehow we get our worst defeats. Maybe some of you are even thinking that. The reason why I don't give a testimony is because I just know probably Tuesday or Wednesday I'm going to succumb to that sucker. So I just won't even say I'm, 4 weeks doing good. Be careful about that. That is something that we have to be careful. Have you ever noticed that after you've made a decision to grow in an area that seems like life gets worse? Some of you need to recognize that. Seems like all the forces of nature are pouring down on you. But it's not evil. It's probably my neighbor. No. Get spiritual here. You're a spiritual person. Be careful. Learn how to resist those attacks. Get into a life group. Learn how to resist those attacks. Until your children are able to defend themselves, they need to learn how to resist those attacks too. You stand up for those children, those grandchildren. You protect your family spiritually. Well, let's hit some of the finer points of this message, huh? I only have 2 points. So number two, let's look. How do we follow Jesus through the messiness of spiritual growth? Here we go. Common sense. But it's worth remembering, you might say, I'm not really engaged in all those areas. Letter A, resolve to never quit growing spiritually. You're just going to have to make that decision. If it's up for guessing, then you are going to be squirrel bait. You'll be an easy pushover. But it is important in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, and I like Hebrews. Now, you know, the original Bible did not have chapters and verse break. It was just one continuous letter. So write down Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Then comes Hebrews 6, 1 and through 3. Hebrews 5, 13 says, you know, those who are immature are still in need of milk. They cannot handle things. Verse 14 of Hebrews 5, 14 says, but those who, by reason of use of the Word of God, are mature and are able to discern between good and evil. So using the Word of God, not knowing, don't just say I got head knowledge. Apply the Word. Amen. You'll become strong. Yep. You'll become mountain movers. But look what verse 1 says. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understandings. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repentance from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understand. So resolve never to quit. Listen, this should be a life goal. I want to grow spiritually. This is not an option. This is not an option. As the days get darker in society, this one is important. You embrace the mindset, I will not quit growing. I may fail. I could hit a pitfall. I could be thrown out, but I'm not going to stop growing and following Jesus. He doesn't throw in the towel on you or me, does he? Praise God. You who are boxers or wrestlers, you know what that means, right? Throw the towel. Quit. But I've had plenty of discouraging moments, no doubt about it. But I have determined years ago, Jesus, I am committed to following you. Now listen, there's a difference between just I'm committed to believe God exists and committed to following and obeying God. There's a big difference. Some people have nothing going on in relationship with Jesus, but they think they're okay by simply believing. Maybe watch out. That's confusing to society that's trying to find their way to God. So when we take a look, let's remember that. It's a good book out there, The 5 Marks of Maturity by Rick Warren. You may want to check that out. Letter B, growing together in community. I like that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And since we have life groups starting, now you know why we make it such an emphasis. But check it out. Let us, verse 24 says, Let us think of ways to motivate one another to act to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Now, we do grow best in community. We do not grow best in isolation. And if anybody thinks that they're growing as an isolated Christian, that is anti-biblical. They are just raging against all wise judgment, Proverbs 18:1 says. So be careful about that. But it's important. Some types of smaller groups we all need to be a part of. Get a part of one of our life groups. Get into that environment where you know people want to follow Jesus. Oh, please, please do that. I would love everybody to be in a small group. If you're currently in a small group and you're wanting to grow and spiritually, but no one in that group, whatever that might look like, that backgammon club or that who knows what, and they have no interest in being spiritual, then I'm telling you, you will not grow. You will stop growing spiritually. So to be in the right area is so important. Your relational environment matters to your growth, and that is not optional. Not optional. I remember when I was 21 years of age, working for my mom and dad in the family print shop, making some pretty good money. I could not handle living at home because they talk shop all the time, so I got my own apartment. Right there, Grand and Barranca, right there in Covina, one bedroom. It was beautiful. I was on my own at age 20, never looked back. And I'll tell you, but one thing, I had a challenge. I was free to do what I wanted. And though I was a Christian going to a little four-square church in Azusa, California, I was still growing weed in my little lanai. I still had my little paraphernalia going on, you know, because God made the herbs, you know. I was a nicer person when I wasn't the real guy. And I realized God started doing what he does to me. He always gives me forks in the road. Paul, which one are you going to take? And I said, Lord, I want to go on the one you have for me, the one you'll be on. And I remember my coming out party when we celebrated my friend Keith, still my good friend, going off to really college in Colorado. His mother made this elaborate just table spread of food. And nobody, when they want to get really schnockered, you don't eat food, but go ahead. And so I invited my 19 friends, and I brought in three good Christian people that are part of the worship team. We're going to sing Jesus songs, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. So here came, not 19, 36 party crashers, because they knew Paul's having a party. And they came in, they were carrying their cases. They were in my kitchen rolling weed. They were just, and because I had a small refrigerator, they had their fifths of stuff that didn't require refrigeration. And we started singing about Jesus, and like, what's going on? And I told them, this is what's happening in my life. And I want you to follow me. And please don't call me anymore when you got the stash, because I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, who wants to join me? And crickets. Nobody. Nobody. I was so bummed, but I felt free. I felt free. I felt like there was something of a severing. And the problem was, is poor Keith party. They all start talking about how Mitch has one going down the street, and they all grabbed their stuff and left. There's Keith and me and all this food. And Keith just says, Paul, I knew you needed to do that. It's okay. Later on down the line, I've had those number of those friends show and find their way to my printing plant or in Banning, California, when we were pastoring, leading them to Jesus. Glory to God. They said, Paul, are you still following Jesus? I said, I am. The man, tell me about him. Glory to God. Glory to God. But the environment you and I are in, some of the people in your environment need to know about Jesus. And you know they have no interest in growing because they may not know him. So let's be encouraged by that. As we just move to letter C, acknowledge your struggles to others. I like Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, which literally says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Friends, since we are all broken people, it should be so easy for us to tell one another our failures, tell one another our big mistakes. Now, you know there are certain areas in society you better not share your brokenness because we want to be accepted, but that's not the place here at Hope Chapel. This is a good place to share all of your mess ups. This is it. This is the place. And if you try, and if I try to look good, like I have my act all together, you really stand out. You know, it's like, who does that person think he is? I told you about the guy I met Main Street. I said, hey, I haven't seen you back at Hope Chapel in a while. Well, you know, I decide I'm not going to go there anymore. Why? Well, do you know who attends Hope Chapel, Pastor Paul? I said, well, I think I do. I don't know everybody. Well, if you knew, then you'd understand why I don't want to come. Oh, I get it. You're looking for the perfect church, aren't you? And he paused. He said, well, maybe. I said, well, listen, if you find the perfect church, don't join it. Why? You'll ruin it. That was the end of the discussion. So it's important we get a chance here. Transformation only happens in an environment of honesty. I want to grow. You find those people you can be transparent with. Listen, creepy things are in our closets. And things grow in the dark. They grow in the dark, but they die in the light. You get it out there. You get it out there. Because I'll tell you, works of darkness will bring it up as soon as you take a couple steps toward Jesus. Go for it. Letter D, keep taking steps of obedience. I like James chapter 1, verse 25, and I need to scoot along here a little bit. It says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So don't stop growing. You can go to a certain level and really kind of plateau. I remember my son Luke years ago said, Dad, why do grown-ups stop growing? That's a great question. Why do Christians stop growing? Now, some Christians are like for years they've been attending, but man, they're same issues, same conversations. Oh, come on. And they don't grow. How do you know if you've stopped growing? Well, when was the last time an area of obedience caused you to be nervous or anxious, moved you outside of your comfort? I can't do that. Why not? Oh, I just, man, that's how you know you stopped growing. You've stopped, and it's not happening because growth is messy, and growth means we have to move into a new territory. God's having us move. You read it. Don't be head knowledge only. Do it. Get involved. It's a spiritual adventure. You got a good-looking set of wheels going on, and you're not on an adventure with that. That means you're just sitting there idling, going nowhere. But what a bummer. Show it off. Go places. So what's the area that God's been speaking to you about of obedience? Maybe it could be serving. Maybe going on a missions trip. How about baptism? Could be applying money somehow. What area is it? And finally, letter E, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. That seems so basic, but I'll tell you, it's the most profound thing. Like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Oh, that's, I'm telling you, I love the Word of God, but I deal with times that it's still messy. It's like, I don't feel like reading. Attitude's not there. My attention's not there. My consistency's sparse. I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not sure what I should do. I don't know where I should begin reading. All of those things. Listen, it's whatever it takes, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word. That's where your nourishment is. There's times I'm tired, I don't make dinner, I'll have a bowl of cereal. That's not the best meal I've had, but I eat something for nourishment. Besides, I don't cook, so I just want to be honest with you. I'm not going to cook anyway, but where's Ainsley? No, she's a great cook. But make sure, Signs of maturity is you start to feed yourself. Start to feed yourself. Let me pray. Let me pray. Father, we certainly understand one thing. You loved us and accepted us just the way we are. Oh, I like that about you. But you love us enough not to keep us where we are. You want us to move on and grow, experience and enjoy. Jesus, you prayed for us that they who believe in you would be one as you are with the Father, and that we would enjoy the journey and the joy. So, Lord, change our hearts. Make spiritual growth for each one of us a real priority. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.